This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Observers of modern Europe often present catastrophic visions of religious conflict in the near future as Christianity collapses in the face of a rising Islam. Some pundits are loudly proclaiming that Western secularization and a flood of Muslim immigrants with an explosive birth rate have brought Europe to the brink of becoming Eurabia. How realistic are these projections? My guest is author Philip Jenkins. He's Distinguished Professor of History and Religious Studies at Penn State University, the author of numerous books, including his latest, God's Continent: Christianity, Islam, and Europe's Religious Crisis. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Fantastic topic. I know this is a third in a series, so if you could begin just by telling us quickly what the previous two books were about in this series, and then we'll explore this third book.
Sure. My basic argument is that Christianity is changing very rapidly. In large ways, it's, as the phrase goes, going south. Ever larger proportion of the world's Christians are living in Africa, Asia, Latin America. And the first two books, The Next Christendom and New Faces of Christianity, were about that change. What will Christianity be like in a world where, you know, the bulk of the world's Christians, maybe 80%, live in the global south? And it occurred to me that I was, in a sense, forgetting the what we think of as the original home of Christianity in Europe. And as you say, many people had written that off. And so I decided to look at the religious future of Europe to see how seriously we should take some of these prophecies of doom you were referring to.
Let's explore what's happening in Europe as we speak. When you go there to do field work and your research, what's going on right now? Is it different in every country, or is a similar thing happening in various countries throughout Europe?
It's different in different parts of Europe. What would strike an American most is the degree of secularization and the way in which traditional organized Christianity seems to be in very sharp decline. In America, for example, when a church goes out of use, it usually becomes another church. It usually gets taken over by some up-and-coming congregation. When a church goes out of use in Europe, and maybe that church is 1,000 years old, then it will become a warehouse, an apartment, or maybe, in some cases, a mosque. So there are all these signs around the place of the decline of, certainly of the churches. And in my book, I use the idea of the rule of 10. You take any measure of the life of churches maybe 50 years ago, and today it's at one-tenth of that. If you look at the number of people who are in seminaries, the number of people turning up to join the clergy, it's about a tenth of what it was. So it's not surprising when people look at it on those grounds that they see Christianity as in its last days. My argument, though, is that there's a lot more going on beneath the surface.
Philip Jenkins, his new book is God's Continent, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you have a question. Tell us your position on it. Is it as dire as some make it out to be?
It isn't as dire, I don't think, in a couple of ways. First of all, there's a lot more life in Christianity. People may not be going to church in anything like the same numbers, but they're doing a lot of other things. One interesting thing, for example, is we are now today living in the golden age of European Christian pilgrimage. Pilgrimage sites are busier than they have ever been. They're attracting millions of believers, more, in fact, than in any other part of the world except Latin America. That's one thing that's happening. Also, across the continent, a lot of the old state churches are in decline, but they've given rise to new, much more active, smaller, more dynamic movements, which in some ways are taking old parishes and becoming mega churches in their own right. So Christianity, I think, is changing rapidly, and it's becoming more what you might think of what will work within a secular society.
What's been the position on the part of the governments in Europe when they're facing this large Muslim immigration? And it's not just Muslim immigration. There's also a lot of Christians who are coming from places like Africa.
Right, and that's one point I make, that I think we often forget about Christian immigrants. For example, when we look at the riots that happened in France a couple of years ago, the areas that those riots happened in, we always think of them as Muslim areas. In fact, they're not. There's an awful lot of black and Asian Christian churches there, which is why I tend to see issues like that more as racial issues than religious. Governments have got a fundamental split. They believe very strongly in multiculturalism. They believe very strongly in encouraging Islamic communities to act in their traditional ways. But equally, that often runs against other things that they hold just as, pardon the expression, sacred, in ideas about women's rights, for example, gay rights. So if you have a Muslim congregation and the imam speaks out furiously against gay rights, where does the government come down? Should it suppress that congregation and defend gay rights, or should it allow the rights of the minority to speak in their own terms? And they've really had a terrible set of dilemmas about this. They haven't really known what to do.
Philip Jenkins is a distinguished professor of history and religious studies at Penn State University. His new book is God's Continent, Christianity, Islam, and Europe's Religious Crisis. Tell us a little bit more about the crisis, about the problems. And I guess what most Americans want to know is, as we move forward into the future, as we try to raise our kids and move towards retirement, is Europe going to be a more dangerous place than it is today, or a safer place?
Boy, the question of safety and danger is a tough one, because so much of that gets into issues of crime. But let me look at, I suppose, the question of will it be Arabia? Will you be looking at, as some people say, a Gaza Strip situation in Paris or Amsterdam? And I think so much of that is exaggerated. There are far fewer Muslims in Europe, firstly, than we think. The proportion at the moment is round about 4.5%. Now, in American terms, if you go to a city and you're told the minority population is 4.5%, then we say, well, that's a white city. In other words, we think that's a very small minority. Europeans are struck by that minority because it is so large for them in terms of their historical experience. The other thing is that Muslim populations are coming to share the outlook and the attitudes of the traditional old stock population far more than we think. Where we see it is in birth rates. All immigrants have got higher birth rates than the host communities. What's happened in Europe is that Muslim birth rates are falling very fast. And incidentally, that is kicking back to their home countries. Countries like Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco have got very sharply falling birth rates. Some of them now have lower birth rates than the United States. That can only happen if attitudes to women's rights are changing frequently, attitudes to women in the workplace, women in the family, and so on. So the Muslim world, the Mediterranean world, is going through a social revolution, and in many ways it's one that's going to contribute towards much greater stability in 10 or 15 years.
We're talking with Philip Jenkins. He's professor of history and religious studies at Penn State. His new book is God's Continent. In one of your previous books, The Next Christendom, The Coming of Global Christianity, you looked at this same dynamic, but in North America and South America. Can we explore that for a moment? What's happening here in North America when we talk about religion and immigration, for example?
Well, America is very different from Europe in the sense that the institutional churches, church going, is still in a very, very healthy condition. So it means that when you get immigrant Christians, they tend to add another layer to the existing mix rather than replacing it. Whenever I'm asked, I always tell churches in this country that there's one figure that they need to put up on their walls, which is by 2050, one-third of Americans will have Latino or Asian roots, overwhelmingly Christian. That's going to have a huge impact on Christian practice. Any denomination that doesn't reach out to those communities is going to be very tranquil, very calm, and aging very fast, and in full decline. So it's a very different situation from Europe. Some of the most dramatic growth around the world in terms of Christianity is in Africa, where the last few decades have witnessed what I call a Christian revolution. Back in 1900, Africa had 10 million Christians. That number was up to 360 million by 2000, from 10% of the population to just under half. Quantitatively, that's the largest religious change of any kind that has ever happened anywhere.
In your previous books, you've argued that in the future we might be facing a new era of Christian crusades and Muslim jihads, especially in the Southern Hemisphere, and that explain that to us.
Well, my book, The Next Christendom, was unlucky in some ways. It went to press at the point at which I couldn't make any further changes on a very important date in history, which was September the 10th, 2001.
Oh, my
goodness. So I was kind of a prisoner of history.
Yeah.
And I'm sometimes asked, would I change what I say there? And really, I wouldn't. In fact, the only thing I might change is not so much talk about these crusades and jihads and so on in the future. They're happening right now. If you look at countries like Nigeria, Sudan, Indonesia, for example, there's very large-scale Muslim-Christian violence taking place now. There's one province in Nigeria, for instance, which is equivalent to a U.S. state, where over the last 5 years, 50,000 people were killed or expelled as a result of interreligious violence. This is a very large-scale violence. So crusades and jihads are really happening right now, and I think that's something that the U.S. State Department, for instance, has increasingly realized as a factor in politics. They've got to pay much more attention to religion.
Now, you write about religion and religious practice across the world. The scholarly work, arguably scholarly work, on atheism has gotten a lot of attention lately. Richard Dawkins, we've interviewed Sam Harris on this program, Christopher Hitchens' new book, God is Not Great. Christopher Hitchens is pretty bold in saying that all of the problems that you're talking about now are due to religion. It's because of religion that we have all of these problems. As you're watching all of these atheism books make the headlines, what are your thoughts?
Christopher Hitchens is one of the people I most like to read and most like to listen to. He's brilliant and he's funny, and you know that if I say that, you know that my next sentence is going to be, and he's wrong. I think he very much understates a lot of the positive contributions of religion, of Christianity and Islam, particularly in creating ideas of human worth, human rights, human dignity, ideas that I think he takes for granted without paying enough attention to where they're from. And one answer I would give to him is, in my new Faces of Christianity, for example, I look at the impact of the Bible, biblical thought, on African Christianity today, and it is causing a revolution in the life and the status of traditionally marginalized people. People who in older societies did not have the right to speak out, but in the new world they acquire, as I wish it's a phrase I'd invented, they acquire tongues of fire. Women, the young, the poor speak out in ways they couldn't before. So I think we're witnessing just an epochal social revolution which stems from these religious movements. So that would be my answer to that. I think many of these authors are assuming these ideas of human rights as very desirable without paying attention to where they're from. And in most cases, they stem from different aspects of religion, Jewish, Christian, Muslim.
And we could argue that they so well informed the great revolutions of the 17th and 18th century.
Sure, and one obvious example is the whole idea of the opposition to the slave trade. The idea of a society without slavery is utterly radical in world history, and in that particular case, it has very clear Christian roots. I can point to other movements that have roots in other religions, but religion provides the kind of absolutely unrealistic idealism which over time people work towards manifesting as a practical reality. That might be its greatest contribution.
Philip Jenkins is Distinguished Professor of History and Religious Studies at Penn State University. His books include The Next Christendom, The New Faces of Christianity, and now the third book in a series, God's Continent, Christianity, Islam, and Europe's Religious Crisis. Mr. Jenkins, it truly has been an honor to speak with you.
Well, thank you very much. Great pleasure.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.